Elections Committee. We have some new business today. We have new pages in government operations. James McKay and Anton, is it Bash? Why don't you two stand up? And then why don't you just briefly tell us where you're from, so who you are and where you're from.
My name is Anton Bash. I grew up in White Bear Lake, currently living in Greenville, Minnesota. Just recently graduated from Bethel University on Snelling Avenue.
And Mr. Mackey?
My name is James Mackey. I'm from here in Cincinnati, from the University of Minnesota.
All right, well, thank you. Welcome, and thank you for coming and serving in the Minnesota House of Representatives today. With that, the first bill on the agenda is House File 2795. Representative Shumper, I will move that House File 2795 be recommended to pass and be sent to the Local and Metropolitan Affairs Committee. So with that, Representative Shumper, please present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members. This is a pretty simple, straightforward bill designed or brought to me by the League of Minnesota Cities and primarily designed to try to head off a problem. As you all know, both of the two major political parties moved our caucuses from March 4th to February 5th this year just to participate more fully in the Super Tuesday caucuses and primaries. But by doing that, the League is a little concerned that there may be some problems for a number of cities who have, because they thought the caucus date was already held, they might run into some problems having meetings on that date and then be liable for that with constituents. And so Ms. Higgins from the League here is got some information. Apparently there's quite a few cities that have normally scheduled meeting dates for that night, and this bill is simply a one-time only fix to that, which essentially says that public entities, cities, and so on can have meetings on that date without violating the law. And so, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Higgins,
welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ann Higgins. I'm from the League of Minnesota Cities.
Ms. Higgins, would you please move the microphone just a little bit? We can't hear you, and if we can't, I'm sure folks who are watching can't either.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ann Higgins from the League of Minnesota Cities. You have been handing out an article that we ran in our League bulletin that goes out to all our member cities, 830-some, in some of the townships as well, back in January, when it became evident to us that cities were asking questions and we ourselves were asking questions about what the meaning would be this year, just this year, because of the fact that the major political parties decided to change the date of the caucus that in state law is provided for as March 4th. For 2008, but the parties have their own option of making rules that affect their members and their processes, regardless of whether that date is the one that you have set, meant that we had an unusual situation. And this bill is meant to address that, simply to say that if cities need to have meetings, and also there are other units of government as well that we've spoken with, if they need to have meetings on that night and they take legal action, that the meetings will be legal. Some of our city attorneys and our general counsel at the League suggested that we do this because until we could clarify it, we had to urge caution on the part of those cities. Now, there are a number of cities, almost 80, that only have one meeting a month, which means that under the urging of the Secretary of State's office and our office, they did not hold those meetings in February. If they needed to, they probably could have selected another night for those meetings, but there may be some who decided, well, we did not hold it in February, we'll hold it in March. And if they took an action that somebody wanted to challenge, it's not clear to us what the answer would be. And we'd like to have your help to just set this aside for the time, for this particular year. You may have other needs to address the question of when precinct caucuses, how that should be provided for in state law. We certainly do want to continue the practice that currently is the case where we do not hold events or other meetings after 6 o'clock at night on the night of precinct caucuses.
Ms. Higgins, is this bill only for this year and then it would sunset and then we revisit this issue next year?
Well, you will not. You'll have 2 years to address it. So, yes, we thought that given the speed at which this session has to move, that at least we do this. and then you may need to talk to the political parties about this. I have talked to the Green Party. The Green Party is a minor party, not affected by the statute. They are holding prison caucuses on March 4th, but they are holding them in a different kind of manner than major political parties do. They are holding meetings, numbers of meetings together, rather than having individual meetings in communities throughout the state and these precincts.
So, Ms. Higgins, this is the League of Cities. Do you know the position of the Coalition of Minnesota Cities or any of the other groups that, for instance, the counties or anyone else who may be holding meetings on this matter?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, I have talked with the other local units of government represented by the Coalition, by the Small Cities Association, by the Township and County Association. And yes, they all do, and the School Boards Association, they all do support this.
All right. Any questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, then I renew my motion that House File 2795 be recommended to pass and be sent to the Local Government and Metropolitan Affairs Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The bill is on its way. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, today we're going to begin something that we had talked about last session, and because of the complexities of last session, we didn't get too far along this past. We're going to deal with technology today, but in a unique way, and we're also going to deal with civics. We have had bills before this committee to encourage students in participation in politics and government, and what you're going to see today is a program that did not take a bill to be passed in order to have participation. The presentation is going to have a couple of different aspects. The first aspect will be a presentation from Winona State, because Winona State has hosted the program for 3 decades. And then, over the last 2 years, the implementation of technology. Now, in your packets, members, you've got a bill book of about 500 pages. That bill book was created using the technology that you're going to see. And then we will have a series of presentations on how technology can be used to encourage student participation. And I think we have some students who have just arrived. They look very familiar and also very cold. So with that, I want to first of all introduce or have come up the Secretary of State. Mr. Secretary, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Mark Ritchie, Secretary of State. And I had the privilege last week of talking with the 40 other secretaries of state around the U.S. who had come to our national meeting of secretary of state, and we had a special session on civic education and engagement of young adults and young people. And it was my privilege to present two very important models from Minnesota. The first, we'll talk more about this morning, the model legislature, which I had the privilege of participating in last December. And the second was the civics education class at Oakland Middle School in the Stillwater District over by Athens, which has also been one of the real innovators in the use of technology in the teaching of civics. But what's important about both of these models is that they were based on the original conception from Winona State, where all students have been for many years issued laptop computers, and much of the teaching and much of the curriculum and the academic life has been based on the advanced use of that technology. And I have to say, from the comments from other secretaries from around the country, this is certainly unique in the country, but also it is of very, very high interest. Other people ask me, how can I find out about the model legislature? How does it fit with other programs? Is the curriculum available? Can they make use of it? So I was both very proud to be a Minnesotan and to be presenting this, but also aware that we have a model here that other people are interested in, and that we have some opportunities to share that. But as a trained social studies teacher who was licensed to teach social study, I have to say that the technology class that I took many years ago, I won't say how many, we actually were taught how to use Velcro to make bulletin boards. This was one aspect of the technology when I was being trained as a social studies teacher. And I only don't bring that up to date myself or to put myself ready for the past year, but to say that the advancement and the innovation now has to be spread both in the teaching models as we train our teachers. In the practicum and in the student teaching models, our schools who are hosting many of our young and up-and-coming teachers need to have these technologies, but also to keep the interest of young people as they think of becoming teachers or becoming involved. The technology is very important for attracting the best and the brightest. So not only do we have this advantage in Minnesota of having some models or pilots of where technology is being used to greatly advance the teaching of the basic principles of democracy, of the participation process, of the charters of democracy and the different functions of government, we also have the opportunity to have that technology be part of the attraction and what holds the attention of the best and brightest of our young people as they consider different career paths and tracks. It was very important to me, but also a little shocking, that when I was first introduced to both the model legislature program and the Oakland middle school program, that although I think of myself as fairly well informed and certainly travel the state a lot and do a lot in civics education, civic engagement, I did not previously know about these models, which is only one reflection of the fact that they have Minnesota again has some very important gems, some real treasure chests of experience and opportunities and pilots that do need to be known wider. And I think one of the outcomes of, at least for me, of learning about these models is that now I have the chance wherever I go in the state, with speaking to superintendents or schools, to both promote those models. But I'm really looking forward to ways that our office could partner with the legislature and with others to really take these from being just great things that are in Winona or over there in Afton, but actually to make them now available as ideas, perhaps with some resources, so that they can be replicated in other parts of the state, so that it's not just people coming here from other states saying, oh, what a great idea, can I take that back to Maine, to Georgia, to Mississippi, but in fact we begin to see our whole state starting to move towards this integration of technology with pedagogy, with academics, in a way that our students both come out not only as better informed citizens, which is, I think, you know, one of our goals, but also seeing where technology aids the process of communications and participation and of understanding. Mr. Chairman, thank you for introducing me to the Model Legislature program and the Oakland School program, but also thank you again for this opportunity to speak before you this morning and to see where we could begin finding ways to cooperate.
Secretary Rishi, thank you for coming both to Winona in December, and thank you for today. And it is the hope of this committee that we can promote civic engagement with younger people, and if we can't pass a bill, perhaps we can do just as you said today, encourage these types of programs across the state. And we might not need legislation, but we could use your promotion in your office. That would be most helpful.
Mr. Chairman, you can count on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? None? Then next on the agenda, Ann McDonald and Sally Standiford. Members, you see on the screen pictures of the model legislature and I think now we're going to go to... This is McDonald's presentation. So welcome to the committee. And please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. My name is Ann McDonald. I am the director of the Leadership Institute at Winona State University in the Outreach and Continuing Education area.
I am Sally Stanford. I am the Dean of the College of Education at Winona State University.
Mr. Chair. I am the director of the Winona State University's Leadership Institute, and I've had the pleasure of working with Mr. Pawlowski and the Model Legislature Program over the last 10 years. Originally, Winona State University's Outreach and Continuing Education area was only devoted to the coordination of the facilitation of the model legislature program. However, the partnership has gone on longer than that. In fact, Winona State has hosted the model legislature program for 32 years. The model legislature program demonstrates how higher ed has worked with K-12 and the community to bring this very active leadership learning program to our students across the region. I've had the opportunity to watch how this program models civic engagement and allows the students to experience the dynamics of the political process in real time. In fact, over the course of those 32 years, over 3,200 students have had the opportunity to participate in this nonpartisan program. This includes students from charter schools, public schools, private schools, at the middle school and high school level, as well as our university students, teachers in our district, and also very active engagement from parents as well who want to come and see their students participate in this program. In fact, Representative Pulaski often says that if we invited all those who work here at the Capitol to come and be with us today who have participated in the model legislature program, we just might have a few little holes in the running of the Capitol. So it's widely participated. Initially, Winona State's involvement was only to facilitate the program. However, that has grown and expanded over the years. And in fact, in 2001, we developed a week-long program that brought students from a tri-state area to come to Winona State, stay on our campus, and learn about leadership and model legislature in an active learning program. Now, over the years, we've had 158 students from 48 different high schools participate in this program. And this is where we first started employing or involving technology in the process. Because Winona State is a laptop university, each of the students that participated in the program received a laptop for the week. And quite frankly, that was really the draw for some of those students to become engaged in the project. And after that, they got hooked on the idea of becoming engaged in the political process. We wanted to take that idea of expanding the technology even deeper into this two-day program that we sponsor in December. But quite frankly, as we were looking at, as you have that bill book in front of you, and as we were looking at how the program operated, how we could expand this program to other schools, we hit a roadblock. Quite frankly, the technology, and we played with a couple of different models, and you'll hear a little later, quite frankly, the technology was just not there in order for us to expand the program. In the event when Microsoft 2007 was rolled out, this became the opportunity for us to apply the technology to the model legislature program and expand it to additional schools in our region, which you will hear about later. So what does it take to develop this kind of innovative partnership? Innovative leadership. It has been the energies of Representative Pulaski, our presidents at Winona State, former President Darrell Kruger, and current President Judith Romaley, the superintendents in the area, principals, our community members who all joined together to make this kind of creative leadership possible. So why is this partnership vital? This partnership is vital, quite frankly, on a couple of different levels. First and foremost, as you maybe saw with the pictures, we have to have a facility that's large enough to accommodate this kind of a program, a facility that is technologically equipped, that has web capabilities, that has printers and laptops available. Winona State has been the perfect format to host this program all of these years. Second, in order to grow the program, we had to expand our funding for the program. We established a foundation account at Winona State University's foundation, and that enabled us to solicit fundraising from our community members. And we have had some great support from our community leaders to expand and continue this program. We wanted to offer stipends to the area teachers who are participating in the program, as well as get them up to speed with the technology that they needed in order to host the program. And finally, just with it takes coordination to coordinate such a broad expansion of this program. So that's a little bit about the importance and why Winona State is so passionate about bringing this program to more and more of the high school students and seeing them as they engage in the civic process. Now I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Standiford to talk about Winona State's involvement in the program from the education perspective.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Sally Standiford. I am Dean of the College of Education at Winona State University. I'd like to focus my remarks on the impact that this project has had on our students who aspire to be middle-level and secondary-level social studies teachers. Simulations are an important instructional strategy in social studies in which the learners experience the reality of a scenario and gather meaning from it. The nature of simulations mean that the experiences of the learners are more real and much more motivating than provided by other instructional methods. We have come a long way since the day of the film strip on how a bill becomes law. As part of their methods of teaching course, our pre-service social studies teachers are actively engaged in the model legislative simulation, starting from the initial planning and helping set up the physical space, to participating in the simulation themselves by acting as committee assistants during the model legislature session, and finally, to assessing the effectiveness of the simulation. As a laptop university, Winona State University is developing sophisticated technology users across all disciplines. For these pre-service social studies teachers, this user sophistication is absolutely essential for them to conduct the research for their legislative committees, to manage the extensive record keeping and tracking of the bill, and later for assessing student learning, reflection, and reporting on the simulation. I know that you will get a sense of the sophistication later in the presentation from the testimony of my colleagues. The laptop technology provides important tools for our students to thoroughly probe the nature of the simulation and the issues of assessment and evaluation. The active role of our WSU students and the simulation engage them with middle-level and high school learners from a variety of public, private, and charter schools, and giving authentic meaning to the mission of Winona State University to educate and enlighten our citizenry, a community of learners dedicated to improving our world. For our pre-service teachers, the model legislature is an invaluable laboratory for them to understand the power and challenges of simulation by immersing them in a lab experience in which they themselves are a test subject. The use of technology has enhanced this experience and has empowered these students. Through this experience, our pre-service students are far better prepared for adopting and adapting complex simulations in their own classrooms. Although I was asked to reflect on the WSU perspective, I'd like to add a side note. At my precinct caucuses on February 5th, the election of the associate precinct chairs was greeted with what is probably typical or not atypical initial silence, followed by some gentle persuasion targeting anyone who looks like a volunteering type. Finally, one young man in the back of the room, I assumed he was a WSU student, volunteered to be the first associate chair. Later during the meeting, there was a break in the action, and I happened to be able to ask the young man if indeed he was a WSU student. He was not. He was a high school student who will turn 18 before the general election. I thanked him for volunteering and asked how he came to make that kind of a commitment. He told me that he had always had more than just a passing interest in politics, but one that had been recently sharpened by his participation in a local model legislature here in Winona, in which his high school had participated. And with that, we close the loop on the WSU mission statement to educate and enlighten our citizenry at a distinctive institution, a community of learners dedicated to improving our world.
Jennifer, do we have one of your students here today? Does she want to come down? Just for a second. Yeah. Just briefly, why don't you identify yourself for the record, and then you might want to tell the committee what you did.
I'm Betsy Lisensky, and I am a senior at Winona State University, and I got to take part in being one of the college students who facilitated during the model legislature experience these students, and To begin with, they are a dynamic group of students. You have all levels. You've got students who are obviously going off to college right away, and then you have 7th and 8th grade students, which as a student going into education, this is a perfect opportunity for me personally to work with a wide range of students. And going into the experience in terms of technology, all of the students in my class who were participating, we all had our laptops with us. And it was like our saving grace having that there. We were able to take notes for the students who were participating so that they could streamline through it. If there was a question, we could just go back using our laptops to see what information we needed and answer any questions they had. It just, having the technology at our fingertips, it really made the experience a lot more efficient for the students and for us as well.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for coming today, too. I know it was somewhat of a trek for you.
Yeah.
So thank you.
It was an adventure.
Members, the next part of the presentation is the technology part. You have in your packet a bill book. The bill book is created on the WSU website. I draw your attention to the bill book because the bill book that's before you cost approximately $2,400 to produce, which is raised privately by the students. It's created on a website with all of the schools, and you'll hear from at least two of the schools today, coming into the website and creating the bill book virtually and then printing it out. So with that, welcome to the committee, the Winona State University technology team that did it. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Adam Gelly. I'm with the Information Technology Department for Winona State University.
I'm Lori Muren. My title is Lead Developer. I work in the Information Technology Department for Winona State University, located in Winona, Minnesota. I'd like to give a little background on our involvement in the Model Legislature project. About a year ago, Ann McDonald came to me and asked if there was a better way to create this 500-page bill book. The pictures on the slide above me kind of tell the story. The method at that time was to physically cut and paste the information provided by the students onto a template that contained the Minnesota State seal. This process took at least 1 to 2 weeks to complete. In 2006, the process was improved a bit by Ben Ruberg, a Winona senior high school student. Ben used his own computer and purchased software, Microsoft Excel, to create a macro process to merge the data. So the process became somewhat automated. Anne also wanted to know if it was possible to put the book, the end results, onto a website so that it would be available for the public. We discussed different possible solutions, which raised key questions that needed to be answered by the project owner, and that was Representative Gene Pawlowski. So we decided to meet when he would be available. It was in May of 2007 that we finally got together. And we talked over the requirements for the project. We talked about some of the technology and the options that we had, and that raised a lot of other options, or identified a lot of new requirements. In regard to the bills themselves, it was desired to somehow eliminate the chance of duplicate bills. There were two reasons for this. One, with the limited amount of time that people had to present during the model legislature session, cannot spend time on presenting the same bill more than once. So students that had similar bills were unable to participate. Another reason, it was increase the cost of printing the bill book. We identified some administrative functions. There was a desire to centralize the process and make it easier for other schools to participate. As you can see on this next slide, the schools that have participated are spread out over southeastern Minnesota. Over the years, we've had students from Caledonia, Houston, St. Charles, Lewiston, and Winona participate in the model legislative program. The distance and the response times had been and posed issues for the implementation of the model legislature program. Along with centralization, there was a need for maintaining lists of participants as they came onto the program. Could we improve the process for assigning participants to the House or Senate and the different committees? Finally, the bill book. It was crucial to simplify this and speed up the process for creating this bill book. Things like merging the data into the template and automatically numbering the pages. The timing for this request could not have been more perfect. At Winona State, we had been using Microsoft SharePoint for the past 2 years at that time, and we were going through a major upgrade. The requirements for this project were screening for a collaboration team site, and we had the tools to do the job. With our upgrade, we were going into Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007, also known as MOS, and we were also upgrading our Office products to version 2007. So for the solution, we decided to use MOS to create a collaboration team site, which will be demonstrated shortly. And in combination with Office 2000 Word, we would be able to populate the bill book. Using a team site allows us to organize our data, our documents, our bills, control access to the site, display what we want to the public, and keep our internal workings internal. This was new technology and new to us, our development team. It took time to work through all the details. May through September was spent completing our upgrade, learning how to use the new options in MOS, finalizing the details, testing our solution. In October, we had a solution in place and provided training for the teachers. I'd like to point out that the participants were required to have Windows XP or Vista, the current operating system, and Office 2007 Word in order to use our solution. Because of time constraints and the requirements of the operating system and software, it was decided to have the teachers from each school enter the data instead of the 130 students that participated. Then in November, the bill book was compiled and printed in 4 hours. In December, model legislature was in session.
Members, there's a brown packet of the slides. I think we're on page 7. If that assists you, because the screen might not be in your visual area. So go ahead, proceed.
Thank you. Winona State University's development time was in kind, as well as the use of the hardware and software. A $1,000 stipend provided by private donations was given to 3 schools so they could upgrade their computers, again, to the latest operating system and to be able to use the Office Suite 2007.
Before we leave page 7 on the cost for the solution, because one of the issues we're going to be visiting in this committee after bill deadline is technology, and we are going to take a post-view of the technology that was appropriated this past session, and we're going to look across the agencies and how they have implemented that technology. I want to draw your attention to the fact that Winona State has an in-kind contribution here of over $13,000 for this program. And also note that there had to have been a private contribution, a sizable private contribution for a stipend for the teachers. I draw the members' attention to that because, once again, this was done without a bill. However, it was also done with the assistance of Winona State, where we took taxpayers' dollars and spent them once and got multiple bangs for them. We got a bang at the state university level. We got a bang at the K-12 level. We got another bang in charter schools and private schools. And it might be something that we should take a close look at emulating across the state. That when a tax dollar is spent once, there are ways to get multiple impacts for it with the public schools, the private schools, and the state universities. And not to mention the fact that we can also train some teachers simultaneously also. Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you. So, in past December, we had 130 students from Bluffview Montessori, Cotter High School, Houston Senior High School, St. Charles Senior High School, Winona Senior High School, and Winona State University pre-service social studies teachers participate. We have participation, as it's been stated before, from public, private, and charter schools, along with a state university. With the solution we have come up with, it makes it so much easier to participate. We are no longer limited by distance. Interaction is over the internet and immediate. The administrative tasks have been simplified, and creating the bill book is streamlined. Participation in model legislature is no longer restricted by distance and location, and the potential is now unlimited. Mr. Chairman, at this time I'd like my colleague Adam Galley to demonstrate how the solution works.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I am Adam Galley. All right, now I'm going to take you or walk you through the process of creating a bill on the Model Legislature website. I will show you how to see if another person has selected the bill, claim the bill, how to create and edit, and also add essay and sources. First off, you would open your web browser. Internet Explorer is the most compatible with SharePoint. However, Firefox can be used. You would then enter in the URL into the address bar to go to the home page. And once you're on the home page, hopefully those of you that have handouts can follow along if you're not able to see. So, once you're on the home page, though, there are on the left-hand navigation, there are links to different lists. You can see we have a Model Legislature 2007 list. And one type of list, though, is a document library. And a document library is similar to a folder on a computer. It can store many files in one location. Something a document library has over, you know, a folder on a computer is you can store data along with that file. So go ahead and click on the Model Legislature 2007 link. All right, and as you can see, we have a list of files. In this case, they're bills. Along here, you can see the documents. And we have quite a number of them. Well, we have over 100 of them in here. We have the additional data stored along with that file, such as their student's name, the school and grades they're in, some of the bill title, and the assigned house, etc. And also, we've added a small program to the top here, to help the users quickly check to see if a bill is still available, again to prevent that duplicate bill situation. The student would or the teacher would enter in the House file and or Senate file number, and that would look through this list of potentially dozens of bills and let them know if something is still available or if it has been taken. So let's say a student comes in wanting to do a bill on regulating amusement rides. Then we'd enter in the bill numbers. In this case, it's House File 1824 and the companion bill, Senate File 1370. And you can see those are entered in up here. We go ahead and click Submit. And it looks like someone had already taken the bill. As you can see, it lets us know in red here that the bills have already been taken. So most likely by someone at another school in the surrounding area has taken that. So the student will go back out, look for another bill. And eventually they came back and they chose one on recycling video displays, which that happened to be House File 292. Click Submit, and good news, it looks like this one's available, as you can see in the green here. So next we need to claim the bill for the student. And we would do this by creating a new bill that is based off of a custom Word document template, and it would get added to this list, to this document library. So go ahead and click the New button here on the screen. And what this will do is it will open Microsoft Word 2007 on your computer. And from at that point, we would start filling out this information in the Document Information panel up at the top here. Now, filling this out here provides two benefits. One, filling it out will fill out the placeholders in the Word document. You might be able to see in the gray areas down here, we've got some placeholders such as first name, last name, school, assigned house. This will help keep things consistent. It'll give it a consistent look and feel so everybody's not doing their own thing. And then also it will store the data in the website as well. That is the second thing that filling the information out here provides. So we'll start by selecting a school from the school drop-down. And we'll select the school the student attends. In this case, we'll select St. Charles. And once that's selected, you can see down below here, it has populated in the Word document as well. And now we'll fill out the remaining required fields, which will populate the rest of the bill header here. So as you can see, we've got the first name and last names that have been populated down here, the assigned house, and the committees that it will go through, etc. So now we need to save the bill to this list. We go ahead and click the Save button. And in here, we usually title the bill or the document the name of the student to help with organization. But at this point, if between the time we check to see if the bill is available and the time we're actually going to click save here, someone from another school could have potentially been doing the same exact bill. So we built in a double check. So that way, when you're actually clicking the save button here, it will prevent the student from adding that duplicate bill. So go ahead and click save. And in the list, we can see that all the information that we filled out in that Word document has been pushed out to the website. So now that the bill has been officially claimed for the student, we can go back and work on the student could go back and work on the bill and essay. So as you know, the time passes, a day or two, however long it takes them to prep that, when he or she has finished, they would come back to the site and go ahead and click the drop-down box for their bill, select Edit Microsoft Office Word, again, opening Microsoft Word on your computer. And at this point, we would copy the student's bill text and paste it into this section. Again, by pasting it into this Word document, that will retain the strikeout and underline that the student probably has added. And then we'll do the same thing for the essay. Paste that in there, and then for the sources as well. Then we'll go ahead and save those changes back to the website. Click the Save button. And that was the process of adding the bill. So we are planning to enhance this process for the fall of 2008. And the plan is to allow each student to have a login account. Again, right now the teachers were the ones that were posting the bills against the limited time that was available to start this project. We will give them the ability to create and edit their bill on the site directly. Also, we were planning on letting them submit their bill for approval on the site to their teacher. This would be an electronic workflow process, and it would be using emails and tasks to notify the teachers. It would allow for feedback before approving or rejecting the student's bill. Also, along with the approval process, we would be able to retain versions of the bill as it's been updated and modified. And then we would also be able to capture a dialogue between the students and the teachers. So we'll walk you through a quick process of what we're planning to implement. So again, we're here at the document library, and we'll go to the student. So the student would be able to find their bill that they had worked on, finish the essay, the sources, whatever they needed to do. Go ahead and select the drop-down box. Click Workflows. And then we have a bill approval workflow that will start off here. So go ahead and click that. The student could then be brought to a screen that allows them to enter a message to his or her teacher. In this case, it says, my bill is ready in the little text box area. There are some other parameters such as due dates or the ability to notify others that this workflow has started. But for now, we'll just use the message. We click Start. And the teacher would then get an email letting them know that they have a bill to approve. And this is an example of the email. Notice in the email, the text that the student had entered in on the website is now in the teacher's email. It says, my bill is ready. The teacher would then click Edit this task. And at this point, the teacher can send a message as to why they approve or disapprove. The teacher can also request a change, and that's what we'll do in this case. Request a change, and this will send it back to the person who had started that workflow, which in this case is a student, and the teacher is saying, please cite your sources. Probably something that in the real world would need to be mentioned to them. So go ahead and send that. The student would then receive an email and a task that they would need to complete. The student has the email, and it says in there with the message that the teacher sent, please cite your sources. Again, at this point, the student would go out, make changes necessary, click Edit Task, and then the student would send a message back to the teacher saying that the sources have been added. So go ahead and send the response. If everything is acceptable, the teacher can approve the bill, and then the workflow on the specific bill would be completed. The email with comments and history is sent back to the student. This is an example of that. It has the dialogue that's retained in here. It says, please cite your sources. The sources have been added, etc. We can also view the workflow history at any time as well. This has the ability to check the dates and times that the tasks were created. So we have that good logging in place. We also have the comments in place here as well. Also, as I mentioned earlier, the versioning that could take place. As you can see, we have versions for that specific bill. And we have four different versions, and the current version has been approved, as it shows there. Any questions?
Any questions? Reasonable.
Mayor members, this is wonderful. I really, really like this. My question is, what is the ratio of students to teachers? And where I'm coming from is this the amount of tasks that the teacher has to respond to?
Mr. Gelly, you want to answer that question?
Actually, Mr. Chair, you might have
you probably want me to answer that
Jeff,
question.
Yes, you wouldn't mind.
And I would be happy to answer that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We had approximately 130 students participate, and we had exactly three teachers who were advising the students.
Well, Chair members, I work in a research and development community, and we routinely look at paperwork this way. And one thing we've had to go to, because I'm a teacher in that case, we have dashboards of where before a student could submit something, they have to have the criteria. So in your example of where cite your sources, you know, that would be part of the criteria, and it just quickens things up. But overall, I'm really happy with this.
Representative Wolfsteiger, this phase has not been implemented yet, and we're going to move to one of the reasons why it hasn't been with a presentation on technology, and that's where we're headed next. Any other questions, members?
No, great.
No other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, we actually have the governor and lieutenant governor of the model legislature here, I believe, so if they would come down. And members, above you is the process, the former process. Well, I think it is the, yes, we probably should stand if it is the governor. Yeah, probably should. Yeah. Yeah. Madam Governor, Lieutenant Governor, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Winona Eswed, and I was the model legislature governor this year.
My name is Leah Mueller, and I was the lieutenant governor.
Proceed.
I'm a senior at Winona Senior High School this year, and I have actually been involved in Model Ed since I was in sixth grade. I was a page when I was in sixth grade. And then last year, again, I ran for lieutenant governor of Model Legislature, and this year, again, as governor. Last year, I presented a bill that required all schools to give a parental notice to parents if a sex offender is working in or around a school. And this year, I presented a bill that required that all females receive the HPV vaccine. For running for governor was pretty tough this year. We had a lot of new things going on. We actually had our own press conference this year, where in our AP government class, we had all the people that were running for office get up, give a little talk about what the issues that we were going to discuss this year and how they feel about certain things. We also had the first model legislature soiree, which took place at my house, actually, where all of us got together, talked a little bit about model legislature, mostly just kind of hanging out, eating some hors d'oeuvres and punch. We actually did a lot of campaigning this year. We have some stuff that we used for our campaign.
The pages will pass out any material you have.
The first thing that's coming around is our press release, or actually just the flyer that we used to get our name out there. And
we used a very great campaign technique.
Well, I think you'll see it, members. Governor or Lieutenant Governor?
We also sent out personalized letters to all the underclassmen in Model Legislature, as well as students from Houston, St. Charles, and Cotter. We asked them to give us the amount of money that their bill would be appropriating so we could get together the budget and see how much we were going to need to receive.
Governor, why was it important for you to make sure you understood the amount of money you would be appropriating?
Well, the deficit was really high this year, and we had a lot of spending bills that we really wanted to get passed, so it was really tough trying to get together this budget.
Thank you.
Yeah. We have posters that we put up the day of the election with our slogan, A2 Alpha Females.
And Mr. Chair, if I could explain that, Winona actually emailed a previous female model legislature governor,
the actual alpha female.
Yeah, and she gave us the idea of being the second alpha female,
the next generation.
The next generation.
Representative Khan has been very helpful in getting material to the students. And thank you, Representative Khan, I think.
I think I personally get the highest number of bills accepted from model legislature that have not passed the real legislature. Which, I don't know what that means, but I think it means the next generation's on my side.
Representative Scott, I believe that's because the government teacher promotes you so well in class. Representative Olsider.
Well, if the government teacher would only vote for one of my bills,
Representative Pond, I believe I said promote, not vote. Representative Olsider.
Well, Chair, members, Governor and Lieutenant Governor, I know it would be a step down for you, but are you considering running for state representative anytime soon?
Lieutenant Governor, Governor, and remember your grades are still. Are you wish to answer that?
Mr. Chair, actually, because I'm on the legislature, it kind of went both ways. I realized that it is really, really hard. We had a lot of problems, actually, in the campaign and the election where feelings were hurt, and it was tough a lot of the time. It was really tough, but also, I saw a different side of politics. You know, I see you and what you do, but I actually got to experience it from a different point of view, and I learned a lot. And actually, I'm very interested. I don't know, you know, for sure if I ever want to run, but it's definitely a possibility.
Great. Lieutenant Governor, you wish to respond?
Mr. Chair, perhaps later.
Any further questions?
Running, Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and congratulations on being elected governor and lieutenant governor. I have a couple questions just about the program, you and your fellow students. First of all, is it meant to mirror current Minnesota? In other words, the conditions, you're assuming that this is the real legislature, so you're mirroring the real conditions, the real budget, all the rest, is that right?
Governor? Or lieutenant governor?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we use the exact same numbers that you would be using for our budget, and along with that, we are using the exact same bills that you perhaps are working with or writing. So we're dealing with current issues, and that's one of my favorite parts about model legislature, is it allows kids, high school students my age, to look over current issues that adults are looking at as well, and we may, as younger people, have different opinions, and I think that's really interesting.
Representative Simon. One more. So how do you decide? How do you go about deciding which bills that you're going
to
be the author of?
Well, we go to the website, the Minnesota House or Senate website, and we've learned very well how to use the search tool on finding bills that we're interested in. So
For example, I typed in environment, and I pulled up an invasive species bill that I was very interested in, and that was the bill I was going to pass if I had not been elected this year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and congratulations to you both. I'm just curious, in your review of the budget and the budget that you put forward as the model legislature, what were the big variances from the priorities that are set in the budget that we deal with?
Governor, you wish to respond, or Lieutenant Governor?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative Broad, we came up with our own budget, how to balance it this year, and we decided to do both an income tax and a sales tax increase. So for the income tax, we created a new bracket for people that were making over $200,000 a year. It was a 1% increase, I believe, and also a 0.5% increase on the sales tax. So, yeah.
Governor, do you wish to explain that you actually passed your revenue increases first and then the bills for appropriating second?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that was the only problem we really had in our office. Actually, we first wanted a cigarette tax, the Lieutenant Governor and I. And actually, the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House agreed that they did not want a sales tax. They wanted a cigarette tax. But when we got into session in the House, the floor leader actually proposed his own amendment to the income tax. Instead of the cigarette tax, he put in the sales tax. And I found out later that actually the floor leader, the President of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House had gotten together and decided to purposely sabotage my tax plan.
Mr. Chair, I'm feeling a little deja vu with the tax bill that we dealt with last year, in which a provision was stuck in unbeknownst to a number of folks. And so I think the lesson you've learned about trust is probably a pretty important lesson, and one that I think not only you have had the opportunity to learn, but I think this body has had the opportunity to learn as well. And Mr. Chairman, I would be strongly in support of passing a tax bill first. And so if there's any provisions that we can do to restructure our process, and it's like building a house. You know, you don't build the house and then go to the bank and tell them what you need. You should probably know what you have and then build the house, and we do it backwards.
Representative Broad, and just to remind members that once bill deadline is over, we are also having at least one hearing on legislative process. We've been working with the NCSL, and that is an issue that will be considered. Any other questions from the committee?
Here.
Yes. Representative Kalin, you're on my list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe it's a short list today.
Yes.
congratulations, Madam Governor, Madam Lieutenant Governor. There are inside stories inside the inside stories, as you probably just saw. A question, I believe, for you, Madam Governor, and then for the Chair as well. I guess first, actually, I'll make a point to the Chair that you've spoken about the value of the technology investments at the school level. Obviously, the technology of the award-winning Minnesota Legislative website has been really critical in making this work in terms of being able to search for bills effectively and lab language. And I'm curious, Madam Governor, you've done this for 6 years now, correct? How have you seen the change in technology affect not only the ease of the process, mm-hmm. obviously as governor, probably it made a very interesting session for you, but also your ability to engage more deeply in the issues as the technology has gotten more complex.
Madam Governor.
Mr. Chair, when I first started, I don't really remember in sixth grade, you know, what kind of technology they had, but it's definitely gotten better. I mean, I've talked to previous governors, and they didn't have the kind of technology we did in the governor's office. It was extremely crucial that we had the Winona State students with their laptops in there helping us out, getting spreadsheets, getting information on bills and how much that the tax bills would rake in, and it was crucial that we had those computers there. I'm not certain how the other governors had used them, but having them also in the committees to write the minutes and, you know, so that the chairs could go over what they had discussed and all the different numbers that they had encountered over the last 2 days, because, you know, after a while, everything kind of just gets mixed up. But it was absolutely necessary that we had all the Winona State students there and all the computers that we had and the internet and everything. It was very necessary.
And then, Mr. Chair, over the years that you've done this, how have you seen the changes on the legislative website facilitate the engagement by the students?
The Representative Kalin, prior to having the legislative website, this was done by having the business department at the high school hand type each bill with a header that we gave them to copy. So each bill was hand typed, and then the students typed their essays. It's a requirement that the students at Winona Senior High do an essay with at least 4 sources, 2 pro, 2 con, to do it. It was a very laborious task. The problem that you're going to see in the next presentation is that the public schools, literally, at least in our area, have almost no technology. And that's going to be our next presentation to address, because without Winona State, we could not do this program, frankly. We desperately need them for space, we need them for technology, and we also need them as a resource. And I alluded to that earlier. It is a tax-funded institution, and it is helping private and public schools participate in this. And that's critical for us.
And just one follow-up, Mr. Chair. Madam Governor, Lieutenant Governor, and senators and representatives that we have with us, I engaged in politics after search engines, and where wanting to find a bill on a subject is typing in keywords, and never really remember having to do laborious legal research or that even probably Representative Simon may have had to do in law school or before, merely because Representative Simon, who is barely my senior, was an early starter and deeply engaged in the legal process from an early age, as you can tell when he speaks on the floor. I will stop digging. But I guess, Mr. Chair, just a question about even how difficult it must have been to, how easy it is now to, if you wanted, as the Lieutenant Governor mentioned, her interest in invasive species, and you type in the keywords and bam, there's, you know, 4 or 5 bills. Just how laborious a process it must have been for high school students to access bills on those subjects. And I imagine there was a lot of conversation with existing legislators and legislative staff to begin with, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Well, they do use email, Representative Kalin. As Representative Kahn has alluded to, and she's been very good about replying with copious amounts of information for the students. Any other questions from the committee? Yes.
Quick question to the Lieutenant Governor. Did you realize before you had that position that the Lieutenant Governor is, in fact, an invasive species?
You have shattered that issue for us early on in the class, and I have a response to that. Also, is that I through the process of model legislature, I've learned that the position, at least for me personally, was very important. Me and Winona found that we were a great team, and although we had a lot of the same views, we were two separate people, and we had two separate perspectives on every issue. And that we found out everything she doesn't know, I know. Everything I don't know, she knows. And it worked out really well. And well, she was being bombarded with bills. I was trying to figure out our budget, and I don't know what we would have done without each other.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, it would have been impossible without my Lieutenant Governor. There were times when I had, you know, a stack of paperwork, and I was signing bills quickly and yelling at Leah, you know, what's the budget look like, you know, and I couldn't have done it without her, and she's necessary. She really was.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as the author of the bill to abolish Lieutenant Governor, one of the questions is, could that role have been fulfilled by a chief staff or a chief finance commissioner or someone like that, who had been selected possibly possibly because of their expertise in budgeting issues as opposed to be just such an attractive political addition to the ticket.
Lieutenant Governor, you probably want to respond to that.
Please, Mr. Chair, Representative Khan, thank you for asking that very much. I feel like you could get an expertise who can do paperwork very well and can do math very well, but is there going to... I just feel like there's not going to be that sort of connection that two people who stand very close to each other on certain issues have. I feel like there was necessary support there that maybe not a staff member could supply. That's all, I guess. Thank you very much.
I think that also that the governor is one person that you see, you know, that represents your state. But it's also good to have someone else there. I mean, I guess it was better because I didn't have as big of a power trip since there was also someone else there to share that with me. But it was good, you know, to have two good-looking girls rather than just one.
Mr. Chair? to further respond on that question, I'd like to say when she described the incident with the tax bills before, when we all as a team agreed on a certain tax bill and something else happened, if Winona was by herself, she would have been the last man standing, or last woman standing, I guess I should say. And I feel like my support with her was very necessary to get the job done, to do what we had planned to do what we said that we were going to do.
Representative Khan, do you have any further questions?
No.
Thank you.
I'm still not convinced, and I look forward to the hearing on my bill, Mr. Chairman. And I look forward to Representative Peterson's support.
Any further questions from the committee? Thank you both very
much. Thank you for having us.
Members, the next phase of this does deal with technology. We've got Paul Graham, Superintendent, John Phelps, Principal, and Dave Gresham from WSU. This is one of the critical issues dealing with technology, both in the public schools and then the coordinated effort with Winona State. And I believe we're going to have an announcement today, or an explanation. Explanation. So, gentlemen, if you just wish to, we can get one more chair there, too. So. welcome to the committee, and then please identify yourself for the record.
I'm David Gresham. I am the, Chair Pulaski, members of the committee. I'm David Gresham, Associate Vice President for Academic Affairs for Winona State University, and Chief Information Officer, and also the Head of Information Technology Services.
Chairman Pulaski and members, my name is Paul Durand, Superintendent of Schools for District 861 Winona.
Mr. Pulaski and committee, my name is John Phelps. I am the principal at Winona Senior High School, and these wonderful kids are part of my student body.
Thank you. Mr. Gresham, do you want to start?
Yes. I'd like to give a little background on the situation from my perspective. Winona State University's mission statement, as mentioned earlier by Dr. Sandifer, is a community of learners improving our world, and part of our charge is to look for opportunities to make a difference and extending our technological resources out to the community to seem like a natural fit with that. So what we've been able to do is draw on our experience with our well-established 10-year-old laptop program. A little background on that is we have a comprehensive program that includes not only laptops, but extensive software service and support, and an immersive educational experience as well. So, it was, at this point I was going to feel compelled to talk in the praises of our program, but Secretary Ritchie and my colleagues at Winona State have already done a good job.
I think you just want to tell us how the laptop program will be used to supplement the technology in 861, and then if the superintendent and the principal could explain how that's going to be done, that would be of great interest to the committee at this point.
Right, that indeed was my next point. part of our program is a two-year rotational of the hardware and extended warranties. And what we want to do is be able to use our partnerships with our leasing company. Winona State, I should point out, does not own any of the technology that we have. We partner with a leasing company, and they do own the machines. What we want to do is go in with our leasing partner and other partners involved in the laptop program and extend those resources to local K-12 districts, including Winona. We've been engaged in talks with these guys to do just that. And so we have been able to take laptops that Winona State has an inventory of, and when they're coming off our lease, we have the ability to provide our expertise that Winona State has as a result at all levels, faculty, staff, and students, an immersive experience. They all have it. We can lend our resources to District 861 to assist with that, and as well as the hardware. And in addition, we are an authorized service provider, so we can also provide at Winona State University, right down the street, the ability to fix and repair and support the laptops as well, in addition with 861's IT staff. So a natural partnership exists there. Our leasing partner also has engaged other community members beyond K-12. I'll just mention that briefly, then we can move on. You're all very aware of the flooding that occurred in southeast Minnesota in August and a lot of the devastation therein. Some of the school districts we were able to supply free of cost. Again, the leasing company did that free of cost. We're able to pull out of our inventory and supply some school districts with computers to make up for the damage and the loss, as well as other community organizations such as SEMCAC that were in need. SEMCAC is located in Rushford, which was completely destroyed underwater, and we were able to give them 30 laptops free of cost to get them back on their feet so they could continue their operations and assist flood victims themselves. So, with that,
okay. Superintendent Brand or Principal Phelps, do you want to explain what this program is going to do for...
Well, number one, Mr. Plowski, as you and I have talked about many times in your classroom, I know it's very frustrating for you with our older technology, trying to even get online to bring up your model legislature. It is impossible, and without the use of the laptops that you've been having through the university, at your own expense providing for the school, much of this program would not be available for our students. And as I think all of you have seen, what a wonderful value it has for our students. Matter of fact, your governor and your lieutenant governor here, they were excited on the way in to talk to me this morning about how they were so involved in the caucuses and become committee people in different areas in our school district. We need our new technology at our school. That is so obvious, especially when you consider not just model legislature, but also in the testing platforms that we have to use. Testing in the form of science tests are all on computers, which occupy so much space and so much time. And we are limited because of our number of modern computers to do those tests.
Superintendent, right?
Representative Plowski and members, thank you very much in advance for all your work that you're going to be doing this this coming year, trying to sort through all the details of how you're going to support all the various programs within the state. Obviously, education is one that we all have a passion for, and we know that education is not a partisan issue, but it is an issue that is so absolutely critical for us for our future, and the future of our state is sitting over here, and the education that they're receiving is not just something that makes a difference for them, but it makes a difference for the infrastructure of our economy and our total state.
this is beyond just the program of model legislature. This is an example of what technology can do for us. And if you think about the cost of running schools, purchasing a textbook can be somewhere between $75 to $100. Yet technology can be used in different classes. It can be used by different students with and different teachers with multiple issues that can be brought forward. The students, and if you have an opportunity, I would encourage you to come to Winona and sit in on one of these model legislature programs. You would be absolutely enthusiastic and excited to see the authentic assessments, the real learning that's going on. I remember back when I learned about government and politics, and it was in a textbook, and it was in the old lecture style. And this is by no means that style. You've got students fully engaged. And if you can take it out of the venue of social studies and put it in any other venue, whether it be biology or mathematics, language arts, chemistry, our students are learning much differently than they did in previous years. I just think about my own family, my own sons. Last night I was checking the telephone bill, and I went down and I saw a number there that I'd never seen before, and all of a sudden I realized that it was a fee for text messaging. So on the way up to the Capitol this morning, I asked a couple of our students to explain how that worked and how come there was an extra fee there. The students know. That's one of the challenges for our teachers, is oftentimes the students know before the teachers. So that is pushing the agenda for the education of our next generation of teachers. Winona State is a wonderful partner, and they are on the cutting edge of education for teachers. It does little good to have those teachers have tremendous access to technology and then go out into our K-12 system and not be able to take those lessons learned and be able to share those with our students. Obviously, you as a legislature this past year gave some one-time money for technology for school districts. And I want to thank you for that. We'll have, in the Winona Area Public Schools, approximately $100,000 this year and $100,000 next year to use for improving access through technology. I know that there's oftentimes great debate about whether there should be categorical funds set aside specifically to be used for specific issues. I think we have that in the area of staff development. That's one that the legislature has determined that is important enough that there be categorical funds set aside. I would also encourage you strongly to consider as a legislature setting aside specific categorical funds with the support of technology. Obviously, if our state economy and our local economies are going to continue to be strong and competitive in a global market, we need to make sure that our students have the best access to technology, because it will underscore their education for the rest of their life, and it is the way that our students are going to be able to continue to be competitive. As I listen to our governor, lieutenant governor, and I guess I would be just a bit remiss by not saying, as they talked about speaking with former governors and the original alpha, a female, I think one of the original alpha females here is Representative Kahn. So if you can get a chance to talk to Representative Kahn out in the hallway, you will have a wonderful opportunity to truly take a step forward in your view of politics. We will answer any question except questions about...
Just one question. If Winona State was not available to offer these laptops to District 61, the operating system you're on now is Apple Operating System 9.2. I believe about the average age of your computer is 7 years. So if Winona State was not available to have the laptops, and we don't have them yet, but then you would not have technology literally at all for the 21st century. You'd still be in 20th century technology.
Well, first of all, the support of Winona State is critical. I've been an administrator in both the metro in suburban schools and in rural schools. The issue is the same across the state. All school districts are struggling with trying to figure out how they can support technology within their given budgets. the support of Winona State and the MNSCU system and the state university systems can be duplicated. So this program can be duplicated around the state. It's not something that's just unique to Winona. So it is one that I think we're breaking ground and piloting, but I also think it's something that, because there's tremendous resources out in our post-secondary institutions, and it is great use of resources because, again, it is money that you spend one time, and it is used multiple times and can make a tremendous difference at the post-secondary and at the secondary and into our middle school and elementary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for coming and talking about this issue. It's actually one I work on a lot, and the bill you referenced, the $90 million, was one that I carried last session.
Thank you.
And there's plenty more to come. I've been working with a task force through the Department of Education and local school districts to establish a set of statewide technology standards to enable all districts in time to have the classroom instructional tools, staff development, access to data and distribution of data, and the accountability tools that we're all expecting school districts to have. And so we had a stakeholder process in the last year basically to set up a set of standards that all schools eventually will have to meet, and then perform a gap analysis to find out what exactly districts are missing to be able to perform at the technology level that we are expecting. And Denise Dietrich is carrying a bill this session that will dedicate a portion of the school land trust fund account, I can't remember what that's called, but to the tune roughly of $20 million a year would be dedicated under her bill to district technology aligned with these standards that we've been working on. So what you're doing is crucial, and what you're doing with finding a local partner to help get this done is enormously beneficial, but as a state, we have to make a serious commitment to technology in schools for accountability and for instructional aid and to make schools relevant to kids. So there's plenty more to come, and thanks for coming here to advocate for that.
Principal Phelps, Mr. Gehring of House Research has informed me that you were once a track coach at Eau Claire.
Yes, I was.
And that you were a very good track coach, apparently, because you were his track coach. Is that
Yes, I was, and my jaw dropped when I sat in the seat and looked right at Matt. And actually, it wasn't the coach. It was the athlete that worked very hard to become what he became. I mean, he became a college runner, and he was self-motivated, and that's a wonderful thing as a coach. And that's why I became a principal. Hopefully do the same for all my students.
Principal Phelps, this is his second year with this committee, and he's doing an outstanding job. So, and again, House Research, they come up with everything.
Representative Pulowski, one of the questions that we agreed that we would not answer, but at least in committee, but if anyone wanted to have a discussion in the hallway, would be about your teaching abilities. I know that this is a wonderful place to have your supervisors.
I assume those questions will be going, and they would be inappropriate at this time.
That's right.
Any further questions? Representative Galen on my list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A quick follow-up on Representative Winkler's comment and laying things out. A question both to Mr. Phelps and Mr. Durand. One of the things that I've seen extremely frustrating is that we have sort of macro accountability measures on No Child Left Behind that are not very useful. In fact, we could probably make paper airplanes in terms of out of them, as I used to with the syllabuses when I was teaching, in terms of helping individual students, giving the timely feedback and the individualized growth model feedback. Yet there are models like the measures of academic progress, like that the NWEA organization does, another kind of growth model, technology-driven testing that you can pull macro data out of, but actually helps each individual student track how they're doing. Technology being the key piece to making that happen. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on as you see an opportunity maybe to alleviate some of the unfunded mandates and the unuseful tools for you at a local level with No Child Left Behind, while maintaining what Representative Winkler was talking about, which is the accountability measures, but keeping it individual student-based I see that may be one of the opportunities that we could have in terms of freeing up money to do the investment on technology that we would need to do to move to this individualized model.
Tim Tenterin.
I think we do a wonderful job of collecting data. I think one of the issues that is always a concern in the local buildings and with the teachers is how do we make that data useful. So to take the aggregate data and to disaggregate it to the individual student level so that you can identify progress and real learning and growth. And I think you're exactly right in that oftentimes it's just like a doctor. You can take a patient's temperature every hour, but you won't cure the patient. I mean, you actually have to do something with that information. And that's one of the concerns that we have. We have a significant amount of testing that's taking place. I think it's good data. It can be useful. But in order to crunch the data, to make good use of it, and to bring it to the classroom level, we have to have the technology that can do that.
The other part that I would say that is a problem is when we're interpreting the data and going through the individual strands of each test, when we get that information, it's so late into the school year, to use it for that school year is very impractical and probably impossible to do. So therefore, the testing we did last year, we'll be able to work on those parts next year, not this year. And that's one of the problems. If we can get that data sooner, we can break it out and use it.
Members, we're going to have to proceed here. We have one more group to come before us, so thank you very much. Houston Schools, we have the superintendent, the principal, and one teacher. Welcome to the committee, and then please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kim Ross. I'm superintendent of Houston Public Schools, and we also administer the Minnesota Center of Online Learning and the Minnesota Virtual Academy.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Todd Lundberg. I'm the high school principal at Houston High School.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Chelsea Glebke. I'm a social studies high school teacher at Houston High School, and I was the facilitator for the model legislator program for the Houston district.
And who wishes to go first, Superintendent?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just a couple brief comments from my perspective. This was Houston's first year with model legislature, and it was a great experience. I was able to participate in the opening ceremonies with the swearing-in from Secretary Ritchie, and it was an honor to see our young people participate in relevant experiences such as this. The collaboration is important. The skills learned from this experience of our kids interacting with other kids from southeastern Minnesota on issues that are most important. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm hoping to participate as a school district into the future. As you may know, technology is something that we're engaged in at Houston Public Schools. One of our interests is to share our skills and curriculum with students throughout the state, and you can't do that without technology. And as you've seen a little bit today, and from our experience too, technology has a great ability to increase efficiencies, effectiveness, and accessibility to students throughout the state. And there's, as we think about our experiences in both in model legislature and experiences in online learning and locally, is maybe there's some way that we can create greater exposure to these experiences to kids throughout the state with technology, if you have technology.
Principal Lumber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was just a phenomenal opportunity for our kids, and you've heard about the technology. This is the type of technology that I think is beneficial for our kids to learn how to use at an early age. To engage in online collaboration is an essential skill. We talk about 21st century skills, and it definitely is. I'm going to keep my comments short here, but one of the students happened to be my son. I asked him, "What did you learn from this?" His comment was, C-SPAN now makes sense, which I think is really a great comment, because he did learn a lot about, you know, the process and how legislation works, how to get a bill passed, how to work collaboratively with other people, you know, and being from a smaller school in Houston, to be able to work with, you know, other students in the area, you know, bigger school districts like Winona, you know, it was a great opportunity for him. So So, again, I said I'm going to keep my comments short, so I'm going to turn it over to one of our stellar life changers, Mrs. Kelsey Glepke.
Ms. Glepke.
I'm chair, members of the committee. I brought 8 through 12th graders to participate in the model legislature program. 2 of our students were either a chair or a vice chair of a committee. My students felt that the experience was so worthwhile that they are currently, you know, discussing with me what committee they would like to be on next year. They're already looking for bills. And speaking on behalf of the technology, you know, since I was the facilitator, the teacher that was plugging that information into the program, which was very helpful and very convenient, I will like it even more now that the students will be doing that themselves. All right. So I like that next phase, and I think that will be a huge success.
And members, we have an alumni of Houston High School on the committee. Representative Poppy is a graduate of Houston High School. So I would say a distinguished alumni of Houston High School. Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, the question I have is this, and maybe I missed it earlier, is this a volunteer participation, or is this somehow in lieu of having to sit through classroom instruction and lectures about theoretically how the process works?
Great question. Thank you, Chair and members. I think that Winona makes it part of their class, but at Houston we made it, allowed it to be optional or voluntary. So students were giving up their time. They were staying after school with me, making bills and essays on their own time. Yes, got to miss school for 2 days, but they had to make everything up when they missed school for 2 days. So at our school, we are making it optional.
Mr. Chair, principal. Unless your son is the principal's son, it may not be optional.
Representative Winkler, the students behind you are the AP government class that raised $5,000 to put this program on. It is required for their participation, but we have about 70 students from the high school that participate. The rest of them do so voluntarily, and they do take 2 days off from school to participate in this. It's a Thursday and a Friday, which they must make up all the work they miss.
Mr. Chair, my comment would be, it seems like this program would be better than an entire year's worth of civics curriculum.
Representative.
In terms of understanding how, I was lousy in civil procedure in law school, but it's funny how when you actually have to go out and practice law, you learn it very quickly.
Representative Winkler, I would agree. I definitely agree. Members, we have one more individual. The city manager of Winona is here, and he has an announcement dealing with Capital for a Day, and since the Secretary of State is also connected to Capital for a Day, he might want to listen. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chairman Pawlowski, for inviting me so that I can invite all of you and committee members. You've heard a wonderful presentation by the students. We hope that some of you can come down on May 16th. We were honored by being chosen to be a capital for the day. And when your blood coagulates, and assuming that your session is over, it might be fun to come down and watch a legislature work with our governor, who translated from Dakota means firstborn female, Echelard. And it will be fun to see bills passed by the legislature and signed by a governor. And I think we offer that. And we hope that you have the time, May 16th. You probably want to get out of here and get some fresh air. Come down to the Banana Belt of Minnesota and enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Simon, I believe you have a motion.
I do, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the minutes of the meeting on February 14th, 2008.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any motion approved? I want to thank everyone for coming today, and with that, meeting is adjourned.